A fresh new day has dawned on the residents of Augustus, Illinois. The vast Harper Mansion is the epitome of the American housing dream. Gardeners are working on the grounds, a fountain is splashing out water in the center of the driveway, and the newest models of some of the hottest vehicles line the driveway. In the dining room of the Harper Mansion, Gunner is standing by the table as he looks at the morning paper. Gunner then pours himself a cup of coffee as Elaine enters the room.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's going on? I know that look.
Oh, it's just that I had the strangest case of deja vu just now. I feel as though this morning has happened before.
I'm not following.
Sorry. Hey, have you finished packing yet? I know you have to take off any moment now, and I still can't believe you're going into witness protection.
It's to keep me safe.
I know. It's just that we've never gotten the chance to have that talk.
There's no time like the present.
I guess you're right about that.
At the Stardust Inn in room 302. Danielle has just entered the room. She then walks over to the bed, sets her suitcase down, and then sits on the bed. Danielle then looks over at the Do Not Disturb sign, which has been placed on the nightstand.
I guess I should make use of that sign. I don't want anyone to disturb me. Not while I'm trying to make such a tough decision, little one.
Danielle lightly rubs her stomach. At Stephanie's home in the living room, Stephanie and Felicia are standing over by the couch as Felicia examines Stephanie's engagement ring rather closely.
My darling, it is such a beautiful ring. Isaac really went all out for you.
Mama, it's not about the price tag. You can't put a price on love.
I know, but I'm not blind. But a diamond like that might make someone go blind. It's as if I am staring directly into the sun.
It is a beautiful ring.
Oh, that it is. Which is why I just had to call your brother and Antoine to come over and look at it.
You didn't.
Oh, I so did.
Oh, Lord. What about Danielle?
I couldn't get a hold of her this morning. Oh, I'm sure she's fine. I think she needs more time alone anyway.
Mom, is there something you're not telling me?
Your sister is still grieving. Let's just leave it at that. That should be your brother and Antoine now.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, you two. I'm so glad that you've made it your way over here this morning. I can't wait for the two of you to see this ring.
We can't wait to see it either. In the meantime, I guess we should tell the two of you that our wedding is taking place tomorrow.
Wow, you two haven't even made it in the house yet.
JJ and Antoine enter the home as Felicia turns around.
Antoine has been dying to tell the two of you.
Before anyone can say another word, Stephanie looks over at Felicia, who looks a bit saddened.
You all right, Mom?
Sorry, I just don't ever want us to use the word dying or death or anything of that sort ever again. This family needs to start thinking about life and rebirth.
Count me in.
Same here.
At Mountainside Cabins in cabin number 2, Donovan is sitting down at a desk looking at a picture of Stephanie.
Oh, Stephanie. I miss you so much already. Thank God I've got this picture of you. I guess no matter what, you'll always be on my mind.
As Donovan smiles, he begins to dip his hand under the desk, but before he can do anything...
Who in the hell could that be?
Open up, Donovan, now!
Thank you.
At the Hastings mansion in the living room, Diana enters the room having come from the kitchen. She has a cup of tea in hand. As she takes a sip of her tea, she walks over to the fireplace mantel. She smiles at the photographs of the Hastings family. She then picks up a photo of Stuart and makes her way over to the couch.
Oh, Stuart. I sure do miss our mornings together. It was our time to sit quietly and just think. Well, most of the time we sat in this room quietly. Other times we would just fight.
I remember you and Dad having a lot of fun fighting, strangely enough. Good morning, Mother. I hope you don't mind that Rosalind let me in.
Good morning, son. And I did call you over here this morning, so it's not as though you're intruding.
Like you said, you love your quiet time in the morning. Anyway, I was just headed into the office when I got your call. I figured we would just meet there, but I take it you're not coming in today?
I am not.
Oh? Are you feeling all right? I mean, we've got to start enacting our plan for how we're going to fit Antoine into our family's company.
I know that there's a lot to do.
Oh. No, I get it. You want to talk about Isabella. And you don't want this talk to turn into some fight at the workplace.
I have a lot to say regarding your soon-to-be bride. But that is not why I called you over here, son.
Then what's going on, Mother?
Like I just mentioned, I know that there's a lot to do here, but there's also a lot to do at our headquarters back home. The board feels as though they've had no direction since your father died. And as we both know, if the board at our headquarters doesn't feel confident, then we can't possibly feel confident here in Augustus. And since the plans for taking over Colin Harper's company fell through...
What are you saying?
I don't feel as though there's a lot tying me down here to this town.
So, you think we should move?
Not we. I think I should move back home. And I think you should stay here. This is not up for debate, by the way. I will be leaving Augustus today.
Today?
Calm down. Look, I'll still be back for the important stuff, but I need to focus on the business at our headquarters. And ever since your father and your brother passed on, and ever since we found out the truth about Antoine, I have found myself not even wanting to wake up in this city. So please, just let me go back home.
I'm really gonna miss you.
You won't even have a chance to miss me. That much I can promise you.
At Lenore's home in the bedroom, Lenore is standing over by her walk-in closet looking at what she should wear for the day. As she tries to make a decision, she continues to have a conversation with one of her baristas on her cell phone.
Yes, Wendy. I'll be just a few minutes late today. I forgot to set my alarm. Yes, I know that sounds nothing like me, but I was up all night planning the holiday menu. I wanted to get a very early jump on things. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Bye now.
Lenore hangs up from the call. Moments later, Lenore finds herself in the master bathroom. Lenore goes to the shower and turns it on. She then takes off her pink silk robe and hangs it on the towel rack. Lenore then gets into the shower. As the minutes tick on by, Lenore begins to wash her body.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
As Lenore makes her way up her body, she suddenly pauses for a moment.
That's odd. I don't remember that being there before. Oh my God, I don't believe this. I feel a lump.
At Memorial Hospital in Charlotte's office, Charlotte is sitting behind her desk talking on her office telephone.
Mr. Zabinski, no one is happy when they get a pay cut. I'm aware that you're one of our best pediatric doctors. However, I had to make some tough calls. This hospital, did he just hang up on me?
He's kind of always been impulsive.
As Charlotte puts the phone on the hook, Olivia slowly enters the office and goes to her.
Nurse Bookman, I didn't realize I left the door open.
Actually, hopefully in 2 weeks you can call me a doctor. That is, if I pass my boards. Anyway, the door was slightly open.
I see. What brings you to my office?
Well, I wanted to talk with you about Christopher Marshall.
Ah, your boyfriend. We've spoken about him before, Miss Bookman. There is nothing I can do at this time. I can't just bring him in for a fresh start on a suspended license.
I'm well aware of that, but I'm also aware that you could make a statement on his behalf to the judge that presided over his case. And...
Look, I'm new around here, but I don't take people with suspended medical licenses lightly. I have a hospital to get back on track. I just can't let anyone through those doors. Nor do I have time to go around writing statements for people that I don't know.
If you would just pull up his file, then you would see that he's a good doctor.
You need to watch your tone. And I have seen Mr. Marshall's file, by the way. It is spotless, but I'm not the judge who presided over his case. Furthermore, if I were to write up a statement, I couldn't possibly do it right now. I'm far too busy, and I don't know Mr. Marshall.
Dr. Marshall.
Pardon?
He's a doctor. He worked for a very long time to get his degree. He loves practicing medicine. He loves the pediatrics department. The woman who accused him of stuff he didn't even do is the reason that he has a suspended license. Dr. Newsom, I know you're new here. I know your word means a lot, so you don't just go around handing out written statements. But please, please, try to consider writing one for Christopher. He's one of the good guys. Well, have a nice day.
Olivia puts her head down and walks out of Charlotte's office. Charlotte looks on at her, lets out a deep breath, and then walks behind her desk. Charlotte then sits down at her desk and opens her laptop. She types at the top of a brand new Microsoft Word document. And what she has typed is a letter to the Medical Board of Illinois. Meanwhile, outside of Charlotte's office, Olivia begins to walk down the hallway as she digs through her handbag in order to locate her cell phone. As soon as she locates the phone, however, she bumps directly into Duncan.
Hey, Liz.
Oh, Duncan. Hi. Sorry. I wasn't watching where I was going.
Ah, no worries. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
Do you work today? Maybe we could, I don't know, grab dinner in the cafeteria later?
Well, actually, I'm off today. I just came in to speak with Dr. Newsom. Duncan, I don't mean to be rude, but I really have to make a call to Chris right now.
Listen, say no more. I completely understand.
Thank you. And Duncan, thank you for being such a great friend. Well, have a good day.
You too, Olivia.
Duncan smiles and walks off. As Olivia begins to dial Christopher's number, Isabella suddenly walks up to her.
Hello, Liv. How's my favorite gal?
My God, are you following me now?
Not at all. The judge gave me 30 days to bring a letter to the chief of staff in order to show her that Christopher has a suspended license.
She already knows that.
I know, but the judge is requiring that the victim, which would be me in this case, details why I find his suspended license to be important. So I guess it's a lot more than just showing that his license is suspended.
You just don't know when to quit, do you?
Quit what?
Being so fake.
You better be careful. People are starting to stare.
Let them. And God, I hope they know. You are the bitch that ruined a good man's life, a good man's career, and a good man's relationship with so many of his colleagues and friends.
A good man. Interesting. I guess that is something you weren't when you took all of Trevor's money. You know, you never did get me the money I requested. And you're well aware of the consequences you're going to have to face now, right?
You know, Izzy, I thought about the demand you made. But here's the thing. You are not going to get a dime from me, or Christopher, or anyone. all you're going to get in your future is an arrest record.
For what?
For making false accusations against a principled man.
Spare me the good girl act. You're no saint, and you're no real woman either. That's no halo on top of your head, Olivia.
You don't have one either. The only thing you have on top of your head is dollar store color corrector. Now, if you'll excuse me, Isabella.
Olivia walks off as Isabella turns around and smiles on at her in a devilish manner. Meanwhile, around the corner, it is apparent that Duncan was listening in on this conversation the whole time.
Poor Olivia.
At Rhonda's penthouse in the living room, Gregory is sitting on the couch looking through social media posts on his cell phone, just as Rhonda enters the room.
Well, I just got off the phone with Antoine. He and JJ told Felicia and JJ's sister Stephanie that their wedding is tomorrow.
Gregory shuts his phone off as Rhonda goes to the couch and takes a seat next to him.
I hope those two don't think the boys are rushing things.
Antoine told me they thought that things were being rushed at first, but much like us, Felicia and Stephanie just want to see Antoine and JJ happy.
Well, I'm sure you're right about that.
Aren't I always?
You are indeed, my darling.
So, what is on your agenda for the day? Now, I ask because my schedule is completely wide open.
Well, as much as I would love to spend the day with you, I really should head into the hotel.
Do you have to?
Yeah, we're hosting a big convention in about a week, and I should at least check in on the staff.
I get it. But before you go, can we talk for just a second?
Oh, no. I have been dreading this moment. I knew it would come sooner rather than later, and I am so, so sorry for leaving my underwear on the bathroom floor.
Considering I'm the one who took them off of you this morning before our shower, I'll just have to let you have a pass this time.
Well, thank you, my love.
All jokes aside, however, I do want to talk about what happened last night at Lenore's coffee house. You know, when we ran into that Charlotte woman.
Rhonda, I don't know how many times I can tell you that her resemblance to Avery, it freaked me out. Honestly, I'm just trying to process it.
Sweetheart, I can't imagine what you're going through. But I gotta tell you, you really scared that woman. And you scared me.
Rhonda, it scared me. How was I supposed to know, let alone prepare myself for the fact that Lenore has a goddaughter with a doppelganger-like resemblance to the girlfriend I lost? No, the girlfriend who was killed when an enemy of mine decided to send me a message by running her down with a car.
Gregory, I'm not placing any type of blame on you. I just feel as though you have some hidden feelings that maybe you aren't letting out. You know, Gregory, you and I are addicts. And we are told that in order not to slip back into those addictions, that we absolutely must process every emotion, you know, every difficult situation. And this is one of those situations.
I know. And I'm sorry if it seems as though I'm shutting you out. It's just that this has really thrown me for a loop, and how can this even be real? I took one look at Lenore's goddaughter, and I freaked the hell out. And now look at me now. Please, can we just put this thing the back of our minds? I really have to get to the hotel.
I'm sure you do. I know you do. But can't just this one time the hotel just wait?
Please, Rhonda.
Okay, love. I'll see you later tonight.
Of course you will.
At the Marshall home in the living room, Stephanie and Isaac are sitting on the couch. Stephanie is resting her head on Isaac's chest as the two look down at Stephanie's engagement ring.
Have you told Leslie yet?
That's your first thought when you look at that ring?
Don't tell me that the thought of telling your daughter hasn't crossed your mind.
It has. That's why I already told her. She's happy for us.
She'll probably object during the ceremony.
I'll have Father Maxwell take that part out of the ceremony.
Probably for the best.
I can't believe your brother and Antoine are getting married tomorrow. And I can't believe we're next. And I can't believe your mother is happy for us.
Everyone is finally starting to get their happy endings in this family. I just hope that my sister gets her happy ending one day.
Danielle is one of the strongest people I know. I've had my battles with her before. She's a fighter.
How did I get so lucky to have a man like you in my life? I love you. Now let's get ready for that dinner we have tonight with JJ.
Good idea.
I am full of those.
Back at Mountainside Cabins in cabin number 2.
Donovan, open up!
Go away!
If you don't want to answer, I'm just going to kick this damn door down.
Before Beau can kick in the door, Donovan suddenly wakes up on the couch. He is drenched in sweat and practically gasping for air.
It was all a dream. My God, Donovan, pull yourself together. Having nightmares about getting caught? Keep your confidence.
Back at the Harper Mansion, now in the living room, Elaine and Gunnar enter the room.
Well, we've had an amazing lunch. We've taken a drive around the neighborhood, and we reorganized your record collection. Yet, we still haven't had that talk.
Sorry I held it off even longer. I just wanted to spend the day with you.
Gunnar.
Elaine.
What do you want from me? How come you keep putting off our talk?
You keep putting it off, too.
Well, not as much as you.
Do you really want to stand here and point fingers at one another?
No. I want to stand here and hear you say that you'll be okay.
What?
I just want to know that you'll be okay. Gunnar, I don't care about the past. None of the past matters right now. You're my husband.
Ex-husband.
I don't give a damn about those divorce papers either. You're leaving me, and, well, this hurts far more than the night Special Agent Chandler arrested you. You're not coming back this time.
You don't know that.
There's a good chance that could happen. I just feel as though now I'm losing you forever, and I don't know how I'm supposed to cope with that. Every morning I see our family photos on that mantle, and for a split second, I get to forget about all the drama we've endured through the years. I just get to look at our smiling faces. You know, the other day I saw one of our wedding photos. It's the one in the study. And all I could remember in that moment is how you moved me around that dance floor during our first dance as husband and wife.
That was a special moment during a special day.
Sometimes in my dreams, I still hear our song. And when I hear it, I think about what it would feel like to dance with you again.
Come here.
Elaine steps closer to Gunnar. He then takes her in his arms and begins to sway her from side to side.
What are you doing?
I'm making your dream a reality.
There's no music on right now.
We've never needed music.
Gunnar then spins Elaine around. She then rests her head on his chest as the two continue to sway from side to side.
I'm really gonna miss you.
I'm going to miss you too.
Gunnar spins Elaine around once more. This time, however, they stop swaying. Gunnar wipes away a few of her tears.
You are the best thing that ever happened to me.
I love you.
I love you too.
Gunnar leans in and kisses Elaine passionately.
Tell the kids that I love them.
Is this really the end?
I'll call you when it's safe.
Gunnar then walks to the entryway of the living room, but turns around and smiles at Elaine.
I'll never say goodbye to you, Elaine. That's not possible.
I understand.
Gunnar then collects his emotions and walks out of the home.
Oh my God. Oh, Gunnar. My love.
At Colin's home in the living room, Colin is sitting on the couch looking over the divorce papers from Emma that were sent over earlier that day. Emma then enters the room.
Hey.
Hey.
Emma then sits next to Colin on the couch.
You've been staring at those papers for a long time now?
I know. I just can't believe they were drafted up so quickly.
Yeah, we agreed to split everything, and we also agreed to no lawyers.
I know. It just feels so weird to have these papers in front of me and to have you sitting here and for everything to just feel so calm.
Not everything has to be a World War III, Colin. Some things can just be what they are.
What is this, then?
The end of our marriage.
You say that so easily.
This isn't easy for me. I love you, Colin, but I also want to see you happy.
I'm happy with you.
You kissed somebody else. And we both know that ever since I came back from Canada, that I haven't been the same. And what we share, it just hasn't been the same.
Has there been anything that has stayed the same? Or is everything just moving at lightning speed and I'm just getting left behind?
Nothing is ever meant to stay the same. But even with saying that, I realize that I have to contradict that statement. My love for you will always stay the same, Colin. I mean, I have such a big place in my heart for you, but we aren't the same as we were. I know that, and you know that.
Emma leans her head on Colin's shoulder.
I think we should sign these papers.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure, darling.
Colin lets out a deep breath and then reaches for a pen. He then signs on the dotted line and then hands the pen over to Emma. On a private jet in the passenger area, Miranda and Jonah are sitting next to one another on a leather couch. Both of them are drinking a glass of champagne.
I'm so happy we decided to get away from Augustus. And I cannot wait to see Lakin and Caitlin in Spain. I promised Elaine I'd send pictures.
That's good. I can't believe that Caitlin and Lakin are back together.
Some people are meant to get back together. Or at least that's what I believe.
I guess that's why we gave things another shot.
Are you saying I believed in us?
That's exactly what I'm trying to say. I believed in us too.
Don't I know it? Remember when you used to try to set up those dates for us in hopes that you'd win me back?
I've come a long way since then.
We've come a long way since then.
I like the sound of that. And I'd also like the sound of calling you Mrs. Bennett again.
We've talked about this, Jonah.
I know. And I know we've been putting off the possibility of getting remarried again. All because we've been through a lot this past year. But Miranda, as we head to Spain, I think now is just as good a time as any to be engaged once again. I think Alex would have wanted us to get back together.
I have no doubt in my mind that he wanted us back together at some point. And I do think it'd be cute if we showed up in Spain engaged. I know that Lakin and Caitlin would be thrilled for us.
Is that a yes?
I guess you could say that it is.
Thank God.
Jonah looks at Miranda deeply and kisses her.
Now, let's be sure we get me a bigger ring this time around.
You can have any ring you want.
Nighttime continues to engulf the city of Augustus. At the Bay Ridge Hotel in the lobby, Charlotte is sitting at the lobby bar drinking a cosmopolitan. Gregory then walks over to her.
I am sorry for the wait.
No worries, and thanks for not freaking out on me again. Even though I would have totally understood if you did freak out on me once again. I can't believe what you told me last night about sharing that resemblance to...
Let's just forget about that, okay? Anyway, welcome to the Bay Ridge Hotel. We have one last room available, and it is yours if you want it.
Considering the fact that my apartment still isn't finished, I'd love to take that room. Thank you, Mr. Marshall.
Very good. Do you have a credit card on you?
Sure thing.
Charlotte digs through her purse and then retrieves a credit card. As she hands it to Gregory, however, the two pause for just a moment.
You know, the resemblance you share with Avery Randolph is pretty insane. I've been trying to process it all day.
I thought you said we weren't going to talk about it anymore.
Gregory then becomes very deep in his thoughts.
Mr. Marshall?
A heartbroken-looking Gregory takes a step towards Charlotte. He then kisses her passionately.
Mr. Marshall!
Call me Gregory.
With all due respect, I'm not calling you by your first name. I'm not Avery, and I'm not your girlfriend. Now, can I have my room key, please?
I am so sorry, and yes, you can hear.
Meanwhile, across the room, Rhonda is standing over by the front doors holding a to-go bag from the Painted Dog restaurant. A shocked Rhonda then rushes out of the hotel after having just witnessed Gregory kissing Charlotte. In the lounge of the Bay Ridge Hotel, Lucinda and Graham are sitting at a table enjoying a light dinner. As Lucinda takes a sip of her wine, Graham takes a bite of his salad.
You know, I don't think I've ever eaten so much on a date.
Yeah, I don't think women have to stick to societal norms on a date. If one is hungry, they should eat.
I agree. You know, Graham, this is our third date. It's been lovely seeing you over these past few weeks.
Same to you, Lucinda.
You are a true gentleman. You know, I just had a thought. You have a room here. I have a room here.
Correct.
I think we should make our way up to one of those rooms.
I see.
Roughly an hour later, in Graham's suite, Lucinda and Graham are lying under the covers making love to one another. As Lucinda gets on top of Graham, Graham suddenly becomes short of breath.
Are you all right, Graham?
Yeah, I'm all right. Just keep going, gorgeous.
As Lucinda and Graham continue to make love, Graham continues to become shorter and shorter of breath.
Oh, God.
Graham.
Lucinda gets off of Graham. She then sits up in the bed as Graham tries to sit up as well.
Are you all right? Tell me the truth.
No, I'm not all right.
Graham suddenly falls unconscious.
Oh my God, Graham!
At Christopher and Olivia's penthouse in the living room, Christopher and Olivia are standing across from one another in the room. Some time has passed on in the day, and the two are in the middle of a heated conversation.
She was trying to make a fool out of me in the middle of the hospital.
I still can't believe Isabella just confronted you so openly.
I can't either. All I know is that I'm so done with her.
Me too. Thank you for protecting me.
I love you so much, Christopher. Of course I'm going to protect you. That is why I think it's time we enact our plan.
It's a damn good plan.
Thanks. So, while Isabella is at Antoine and JJ's wedding tomorrow, in order to support Mark, we must break into her hotel room and find out if she has anything on those false accusations she made against you.
You really think she'd have something like that in her hotel room?
Yeah, I do. Whether it's in a safe or in a suitcase, I have a feeling she has something in her hotel room that will prove your innocence.
A new day has come to the city of Augustus. At St. Mary's Church, in a changing room, Antoine and Melanie are standing over by a mirror as she helps Antoine straighten his tie.
My, you are truly the most handsome man in the world.
Don't go lying to me on my wedding day. We both know Stephen is the most handsome man in the world, and after all, I saw him rocking those tight pants, girl.
Okay, he's a good-looking man. But so are you, darling.
Melanie, thank you. And really, thank you for being my best woman. I just can't believe I've arrived at this day.
Oh, I know. It's been such a long time since we connected with one another. But I really want to thank you for making me a part of your special day. I'm so honored to be here with you. We have certainly come a long way since I cut you a check.
That we have. Mel, I love you. I love you so very much. You are the greatest friend a guy could ask for.
Oh, I love you too.
At JJ and Antoine's apartment in the living room, Felicia is standing over by the couch talking on her cell phone.
Danielle, it's your mother. As you know, today is your brother's wedding. Look, honey, I still haven't heard from you and you're starting to worry me. And I don't want you to miss your brother's wedding. Just call me back as soon as you get this message and please, please, please let me know when you're on your way to the church.
As Felicia hangs up from the call, JJ enters the room.
Was that Danielle you were leaving a message for?
I don't want to lie to you on your wedding day of all days, so yes, I was leaving a message for Danielle.
Felicia picks up JJ's suit jacket from the couch and then helps him to put it on.
She'll be there, JJ. I just know it. In the meantime, I can't believe you're getting married today. Oh, my baby boy.
Don't make me cry, Mom.
I won't. I have enough happy tears for the both of us anyway.
I bet you do.
Well, we should get you to the church. You don't want to be late for your own wedding.
Back at St. Mary's Church in the main area, Isabella and Mark enter the main part of the church and are handed a program of the ceremony from a woman.
The gays of Augustus really know how to put together a wedding on a budget, and quickly. Maybe we should hire your brother to plan our wedding.
Antoine and I aren't that close.
You're here, Mark. That shows that the two of you are much closer than the night you found out he was your brother.
I guess you're right about that.
Back at the Bay Ridge Hotel, Olivia and Christopher are walking down a hallway.
I can't believe you managed to get that hotel maid to give you the key to Isabel's room. I'm sure we could have just talked to my uncle.
Yeah, but what fun would that have been?
This is fun for you?
Hey, it is what it is. Oh, look, we're finally here.
I'm sure we don't have much time.
I guess you better get looking then.
Roughly 45 minutes later, Olivia and Christopher are once again in the hallway.
I can't believe we found Isabel's diary with a fully written confession.
It almost seems too easy.
Sometimes people are able to get a blessing from above. Now, let's make our way to the police.
Agreed.
Back at St. Mary's Church in the main area, Felicia is standing over by the open bar drinking a glass of water when Stephanie walks over to her.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, Stephanie. I thought you and Isaac were already seated. The ceremony is going to start any moment now.
I know. I just wanted to check up on you. I can't begin to possibly understand the pressure that's been placed upon you. I just wish you would have come to me. Danielle called me just a bit ago. I know about the pregnancy. She also told me that the reason we didn't see her yesterday is because she went out of town to clear her head. But you already knew about that, didn't you?
Yes. I'm sorry that I kept even more secrets from you.
You were looking out for Danielle.
I just hope she shows up soon.
I'm here.
Danielle rushes up to a shocked Stephanie and Felicia.
Hey, you two.
Danielle, hi.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you doing?
I've never been better. Now, where's my handsome brother? I want to give him a pre-wedding ceremony gift.
Meanwhile, in the chapel of St. Mary's Church, guests have begun to take their seats for the wedding. Over to the right side of the church, Colin and Leslie sit next to one another on a pew.
Now I had no idea you were coming to this wedding.
Oh, Antoine used to be my assistant. I'm just so happy for him. What are you doing here, though?
I helped JJ do the advertising for Prodigy when he took over.
I see. Where's Emma?
She decided to stay home with Connor. And on a completely different note, we signed our divorce papers last night.
Colin, I'm so sorry.
I'll be okay. Let's just enjoy the wedding. Today is not about me. It's about Antoine and JJ.
Amen to that.
On the left side of the room, in the front pew, Rhonda and Gregory are sitting next to Stephen and Melanie.
You were awfully quiet on the car ride over here. You were even quieter when I got back to your place last night. What's going on in that head of yours, Rhonda?
I'm just trying to make sure I have my mother of the groom speech memorized. You know, I don't want to mess up the reception.
Oh, don't worry, you won't, but is that the only reason? I mean, you're pretty good at memorizing, and I've seen you nervous before, so... Rhonda, you've never been this quiet.
Just leave it alone, Gregory.
Rhonda!
I'm quiet because I'm afraid that if I speak to you, then I will tell you how much it hurt me to see you kiss that Charlotte woman last night.
What?
Listen, I went back to the hotel to bring you dinner. I hung around towards the front doors as I watched you kiss that woman hours after you had kissed me.
Next to Rhonda and Gregory.
I love weddings.
Me too. Oh, and this one just means so much to me.
I know it does. You're a good friend, Antoine.
Thank you. I'm just so happy that I get to be his best woman today.
And hopefully you can pick someone to be your best woman someday soon.
What is that supposed to mean?
It means I want to marry you, Mel.
That? Oh my god. That's the best idea you've ever had.
In the pew directly behind Stephen, Melanie, Rhonda, and Gregory sits Mark and Isabella. Isabella is on her cell phone.
You should get off of that thing. The wedding's about to start.
Sorry, I got an alert from the Bay Ridge Hotel security system. Apparently, a maid went into my room.
How awful.
I didn't request any maid service.
They did you a favor.
I don't know. This just doesn't sit right with me. I'm gonna go check it out.
Are you seriously about to leave right now?
Better safe than sorry. I'll be back in like 20 minutes. Love you.
Love you too.
As Isabella walks off, the rest of the guests take their seats for Antoine and JJ's wedding. Back at the Bay Ridge Hotel in Isabella's suite. Someone has just entered Isabella's room. This person walks over to the desk and puts a bouquet of blue violets down on the desk. Meanwhile, back at St. Mary's Church in the chapel, Antoine is standing to the right of the altar with Father Maxwell. Antoine then grows nervous as he realizes that JJ has not come down the aisle yet.
I mean, God, he's always fashionably late. Plus, Danielle mentioned that she wanted to give him a pre-wedding ceremony gift. I'm sure they'll be here any second. And I knew we should have walked in hand in hand.
Outside of St. Mary's Church in the parking lot, JJ rushes over to his car. He then takes a look at the church and takes a deep breath.
Forgive me, Antoine. I just can't do this right now.
Back at the Bay Ridge Hotel in a hallway, Isabella steps off of the elevator and begins to walk down a hallway. She then begins to look through her purse for her room key. Upon retrieving the room key from her handbag, Isabella then stops at the door to her suite. She then begins to unlock the door.
Oh my god! You've got to be kidding me! I knew there wasn't a maid in here. You better turn around, Olivia, or else I'm calling the cops. Did Christopher put you up to this?
Isabella steps closer to the person that is in her room.
Olivia, turn the hell around.
Isabella then puts a hand on the person's right shoulder and forcefully turns them around. Yet as she does, the person plunges a butcher's knife into her stomach. A shocked Isabella falls to the floor as blood begins to pour out of her stomach and come up through her mouth. The person in her suite then steps over Isabella's lifeless body. This has been the season 4 finale of Forever and a Day. Created by KCS Hutchison. Co-executive producers KCS Hutchison, Candace Mack, and Demi Morgan. Narrated by KCS Hutchison. Written by KCS Hutchison, Candace Mack, Emmy Morgan, and Eric Andras. Music and sound effects provided by Thessalian Studios and Soundstripe. Theme song provided by Soundstripe. This episode starred Kalia Davis as Leslie Marshall, Elizabeth Von Isser as Elaine Harper, Christina Sullivan as Stephanie Markham, Renee Saran as Miranda Williams, Matthew Preston as Jonah Bennett, Candace Mack as Danielle Frazier, Jean Young as Emma Jensen Harper, Brett Lawrence as Gunnar Harper, Benjamin Bryant as Gregory Marshall, Darrell Anthony as Antoine Jeffries, Tony D. Head as Isaac Marshall, Aaron Clark as Stephen Langenfeld, Janelle Allen as Felicia Richardson, Lance Guzman as Christopher Marshall, Sherard Jackson as Jesse J.J. Frazier, Emmy Morgan as Olivia Bookman, Van Griffin as Beau Reynolds, Amelia Marshall as Rhonda Jeffries, Bart Blackneo as Colin Harper, Diana Collins as Diana Hastings, Karen Knebel as Melanie Walters, Desmond Hawkins as Mark Hastings, Michael Carr as Donovan Aldridge, Terry Lemer as Lenore Parkhurst, Veronica Dang as Charlotte Newsom, Claire Stapmuller as Lucinda Prescott, Ashley Stewart as Isabella Reed, with Ron Schnitker as Graham Williams, and Chaz Cunningham as Duncan Anderson. This podcast is proudly recorded under a SAG-AFTRA collective bargaining agreement. We support all actors and writers on strike. And to you, the listener, thank you so much for letting us continue on with our soapy saga of Forever and a Day.